Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Top of the Charts Tuesday. We play jams that reached the top of the Billboard charts on this day in history. My man Patrick does a great job DJing a Top of the Charts Tuesday. You can be a part of the show. Please do hit us up on the Specs X line, 512-337-3776. The Twitterverse is also open to you. Hit us up. I'm at Rod Davis in the Twitterverse. Harge at Hardball Harge in the Twitterverse. My man Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. We'll get to some Astros Rangers discussion in the next segment. Time to start talking some baseball because we're creeping closer and closer to Major League Baseball playoff season. And as an Astros fan, go Astros! Can't wait for that, but we'll be talking a lot more Hardball with my man Hardball as the playoffs fast approach. But Texas OU is this weekend, so that obviously holds most of our attention. It is 6:08, and yes, OU does still suck and always will. Yeah. But we'll get to that. We'll talk about that. We'll
hit from how you add that at the end, and always will.
And always will. They always have, and they always will.
Yep, yep.
But they have dominated this conference, even though they suck. They have dominated this conference in football, and this could be a great opportunity for Texas to change the narrative about Oklahoma and their dominance so far in this conference. And not saying obviously not going to be in this conference for very long, but I will say that Texas has to exercise their own demons. Sark certainly does, because Sark at one point last season, you know, it was basically he was at a crossroads, and it happened during this game.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think he took the wrong path. And since then, this game, the Texas OU game, has haunted Sark and the program, because this is where the narrative started about the collapse after having a halftime lead, the collapse after having a fourth quarter lead, the inability to adjust and win the chess match within the game in the second half. All those negative, that negative stigma that has followed Sark around ever since that game. It started here at Texas OU, and I think this is where you have to exercise that demon. This is where you got to put that narrative to rest once and for all, and I think the way you do it is by dominating Oklahoma in this matchup if you can. But if you can't, just get the dub.
Right.
Just get the dub.
I agree with you 100% about getting the dub, and that's the most important part about this. But if you have that opportunity to put your foot on someone's throat, regardless, you need to do so, because this is something that we've seen. And to your point, the redemption for you as a head man,
this is it, man.
This is where it started for you. This is where the narrative started to change about you. Oh, my gosh, you just went out there and you blew this lead. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. How did this happen? You went into a shell. You weren't being aggressive. There were so many different things that came about during this game that you sit there and you're like, oh, I got a chance to exercise this. And you bring that suit that we were talking about. Not only do you bring it, you don't wear it, you bring it. And then you light it on fire on the field and just say, this is exactly what we did. I needed to do that. Now let's start moving forward. But for me, Rod, when I look at this game and I look at how this game is starting to set up, I think this is an opportunity for a couple players to really put their mark on it. I think it's this game where Jay Witt, you talked about it yesterday. This is the game he got hurt in.
It is.
So this is a redemption for him as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, because he was having a great season up until that point.
It's a leading receiver.
And then third downs for sure. So this is an opportunity for him there. Then on the defensive side, DeMarvin Overshawn. This is the game. This is the game for you, because you have an opportunity to make some plays all over the field. This is your last hurrah. We know the nation is going to be watching this game. You want to continue to put yourself in that light of, oh, a high draft pick. This is it. This is a guy that can go out there and make plays. Now, is this an Oklahoma team that's not as good on paper right now? Yeah. But they still have playmakers, and it doesn't matter. This is Oklahoma. You want to beat the snot out of them, regardless of who's out there.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think most of the motivation for Texas is already taken care of. They, as Sark mentioned, they don't have the golden hat, so you got to go out there and redeem yourself from last season.
Tell me about that golden hat, man. How smooth, how cool is that?
It's not actually that cool.
It's not?
No. It's kind of stupid. Because the hat. Well, no. I'm just saying, like, the hat.
No, I hear you.
It's like a small hat. Like, it's kind of, like, it yeah.
That's why Charlie's head looks so funny when
it's not,
to put that
when
thing
you
on.
Get the hat, it's not as cool as you think. You'd be like, oh, it's going to be really cool. And you're like, this ain't that freaking cool. This thing is kind of stupid. So I always agree with Chad that it should be a hat you could wear. It should be a wearable hat.
Yeah. Right.
I always agree with Chad's take on that.
Yeah.
That, and I don't usually agree with Aggie's, but it should be a wearable hat. It's so stupid that the hat. And
it does feel like it was originally designed by an Aggie.
Yeah,
it does feel like that.
Because I don't know for a fact, but I think it's like a gold-plated actual hat that they could just gold-plate a bigger hat and let the guys be able to kind of wear it. But I don't know. I'm agreeing with an Aggie, so take that for what you want. But the golden hat, what it signifies, what it symbolizes, that's the important part of it. And it actually symbolizes Texas or Oklahoma being able to win and being able to represent in one of the best rivalries in the history of college football. And for Texas, the truth is, and I know this because I was on the losing end of more Texas OU games than I would like to admit. OU has, I don't say they haven't dominated this matchup, but I would say for the guys recently that are on the campus right now, not many of them can brag about beating Oklahoma.
Right.
I don't know how many of them can, but it ain't a lot of them because they're a relatively new squad. They're a relatively young squad, and they beat Texas in, 2020 and 2021?
Yeah, because we were at the
– And that's – most of your team is what? Your team is young, so
35. Remember, 35 new faces. Yeah,
you don't have a lot of guys on your team. I mean, last time Texas beat Oklahoma, Texas OU game was it 2018?
That's when they went to the
Big 12 title game and played them again, and then lost in the Big 12 title game. I doubt you got. I mean, you may have a few, but it ain't many on this squad that knows what it's like to beat Oklahoma. I only know what it's like to beat Oklahoma once. I did it my freshman year. That was it. We didn't do it after. We came close. All right, but we didn't close the deal, and that's partly why my final 2 years were a bit of a disappointment.
It was 2018, Rod.
Yeah, it was 2018.
2018, 48-45.
It's not a lot of guys on this team that have experienced beating Oklahoma and that can brag about, oh, no, I went to Texas and we beat Oklahoma while I was there. You got to get one. Hell, at least I got one. And I almost didn't get that one. Remember, that was a game Texas was down 17 points because Mike Leach dropped a dummy script on the field that Texas fell for.
Yeah.
And they almost lost that game. If not for the comeback win that game, shout out to Major Operator and the crew. Hell, I'd have been 0-4 against Oklahoma. So it ain't easy, but it is something that Texas this year specifically, because there is a wounded Oklahoma squad. They're wounded. This is the second time since 1999 that Oklahoma has lost back-to-back regular season games. Only the second time. Last time it happened, they won. They went on to win the Big 12, I believe. So it doesn't happen very often, so they are wounded. And if you're Texas, if there's truly been growth, in addition to talking about what I brought up about exercising the demons, because this is where all the negativity and the negative narrative about Sark started at this game, in this game, started during the game. Hell, first half, Longhorn fans caught the Holy Ghost and they were dancing in the street. And the second game, they were burning jerseys and cussing Sark out, all kind of crazy stuff.
Get him out of here. He's not the guy.
Well, it was the largest meltdown collapse loss in Texas football history. They had never been up by 28 points and lost a game ever, or 21 points and lost a game ever. So it was the largest comeback win for Oklahoma in their history.
Halftime, the score was 38-20.
And remember, they had mounted a comeback.
Yeah,
at one point, you're up on like 21-0 on them. So my point being, you exercise those demons, but also if there's been real growth from this team, real growth, because they watched that film. They're watching Oklahoma. Sam Mays, when you asked him about Oklahoma, he said, they're trash. This is Oklahoma that has dominated this conference. Right. You're not supposed to talk about Oklahoma like that. They're trash. But
to be fair, he's an Oklahoma State Cowboy.
But
he's honest. He's honest.
I'm rivals with the Oklahoma Sooners. Yeah. I got enough respect. I don't call them trash.
Right. That's true.
They whip my tail too much. I can't call them trash.
Gotcha.
And by the way, they've whipped his tail way too much, too.
Exactly.
I didn't want to tell you, Sam Mays, but they've owned you.
Yeah.
You might as well be paying them rent. All right? So the conversation about Oklahoma, you've seen them as a wounded animal. Sam Mays looked like trash on defense. We can give you all the stats and everything.
Yeah.
They're one of the worst defenses in college football right now. And being able to look at that on film and still have the maturity to go out there in the Texas OU game and play to a standard, not to your competition, which has become way too common for Texas football these days.
Correct.
Yes, you played toe-to-toe with Bama. Great. But you lost to Tech on the road. So you are playing to your competition still. Now, West Virginia game, you play to a standard for most of the game. That's what you need to do versus Oklahoma. Play to a standard. Don't play to their level of competition. Because if you do, they'll sucker you into playing them into a fourth quarter game, and they may get you in the fourth quarter.
Can I give you this little stat, too, about last year? And this seems to be a trend, and this is something that we've talked about. They scored 38 points in the first half. They scored 10 in the second half. What did they do the other day? They scored what? 34 points or something like that? No. They scored 28.
Yeah.
And they scored 10 in the second half.
It's fair.
So this is something. I mean, we've been talking about the second half collapse, and we've had this conversation too. Would we want them to play good in the first half, or we want them to play good in the second half? I would sure love to see a complete game on this side of being consistent on both sides during this time. If you can bring that to me, that will be something else to be excited about.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you exercise the demons, right? The whole point of the negative narrative about Sark not closing the game, not making second half adjustments, being conservative in the second half, losing the fourth quarter lead, losing the halftime lead was because you don't play four quarters of football. You play two and a half, you may play three, but four quarters is what it takes to win a game. And sometimes more than that. All right?
Quadruple overtime a couple years ago.
All it takes is all you got.
Yeah.
So for the Texas squad, I think they just got to worry about playing a complete game, no matter what it is. It could be four quarters. It could be longer than that. A complete game, wire to wire,
right.
Because that's what got you in trouble. That's what started this negative narrative about Sark is that, Sark's teams, they don't play a whole game. They may play a half that is worthy of them being in the college football playoff. And then they may play another half that is worthy of them being, being basically in the Fun Belt, being a contender in the Fun Belt. I shouldn't even disrespect the Fun Belt like that, actually.
Come on, man. They got winners.
In the WAC.
Yeah.
All right?
There we go.
Yeah. Being a contender in the WAC. I shouldn't disrespect the Fun Belt because the Fun Belt has been really competitive, and they have upset a lot of teams.
Yep.
So I'm not disrespecting the Fun Belt. But, you see a wire-to-wire game. Four quarters, man. Four quarters.
Yep.
The entire game.
I'll tell you what else I want to see. What I want to see is Xavier Worthy become a Red River legend. And Xavier Worthy come out, be a part of the win, but go out there and dominate like you did last time. Because that was Xavier Worthy's coming out party.
Yes,
he had 269 yards in that game.
Yep.
That is a ridiculous amount of yards to have. Like, he just ran all over Oklahoma in that game. And you want to see him come back and go, look, man, you've done it. You did it right off the bat. Your first time down there, you were the best player on the field. Now you have to go be that guy again, and hopefully you get Quinn back. But if not, Hudson can get you the ball. He showed that last week. Get the ball, go down there, run around on Oklahoma, go score those points. Because if you do that and you get a win and you can get over 100 yards in this game, you're now in two games probably over 300, 400 yards receiving.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Multiple touchdowns.
Easy.
Yeah. All that. You're going in the history book. People talk about you for years.
But we need that.
But you need you to come out there and make those catches and not think it's given to you. Make sure you focus, get them catches, because you know what you can do in that game.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I don't know what the records are, but, hell, he can't be far from them after that performance from last season.
Right.
And that's a great point, because that's secondary for Oklahoma. And they are undisciplined. They're a ton of coverage bust. Guys running wide open in secondary. Their eye discipline is really bad.
And they're not very big.
They're not very big.
But that's how they recruit them sometimes, right? I mean, last few years, they haven't been big guys, but they make plays. They've been aggressive.
Cover.
Right now, not as much.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Definitely not as much. So we'll see how that Oklahoma defense is going to look, but we don't know. We don't know right now for a fact. I think we all suspect who the starting quarterback will be for Texas. I believe you said multiple times you still think it's going to be Hudson Carhart. Patrick and I believe it's going to be Quinn Ewers. This is why I think it's going to be Quinn Ewers, because Sark has said the quarterbacks are as healthy as they've been since the season started. So, so they're relatively healthy. We just don't know, obviously, what level, but they're relatively healthy. And he said, I'm going to go with the quarterback that gives me the best chance to win. That would have been the case to start the season. He's going to go with the quarterback that gives him the best chance to win. I believe I heard him say that, actually, around Big 12 media days and in the offseason. So he's going to stay consistent with that. And the quarterback that's going to give them the best chance to win overall is not necessarily about a matchup week-to-week situation. To me, it's just about who's going to be able to be able to present the offense with the highest upside with them at quarterback. And there's no question that's Quinn Ewers.
Oh, No doubt about it.
So that's why I think it'll be Quinn in the end. Even though he's playing coy, it'll be Quinn. I think he's trying to tell us that, too. But I've been wrong about it before, potentially, and maybe he's going to go with Hudson Card. I just don't see with a healthy Quinn Ewers how he doesn't get the nod.
What if well, –
healthier.
Yeah,
healthier.
Yeah. Healthier. I was going to say, healthier. What if he's going to bring him in later if something were to happen? What if he starts the game with Hudson Card and then says, okay, he's not moving the offense or things aren't looking the way that they expected it to go.
Oh, okay.
And then he says, you know what? You good? Go get loose, Doc. And then
he's a contingency plan?
Yes.
I could see that.
Yeah.
It the only way that would be a risk, and it's not that much of a risk, so I'm just being nitpicky.
No, I got you.
It's a rhythm of quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
You want to bring them in and then have Quinn Ewers kind of work himself into a rhythm. But I think Sark's play calling can help him get into a groove pretty quickly. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Harge, I don't. I'm not sure
that that's what Sark would do, though. It just doesn't seem like his M.O. The reason why he's had him suited up, the reason why he's had him there is to make sure that he is still the leader of this team and QB1. He never wanted that to be in question, which is why he suited up in a Texas Tech game, which clearly he was never going to play in.
Yeah.
Because they needed help at the end of that game, and he wasn't in there. And he didn't play the next week, so he was never coming in that game. But he was suited, and he made the trip. He was suiting in last week, wasn't going to go in that game.
Yeah.
So if you say he's been putting him in that position, I don't think he would go, you know what, though? I'm going to go ahead and kind of emasculate Hudson Carr by pulling him out of the game. Because I think he goes, if he's healthy, he's playing.
Well,
he's
my
guy. I'm in love with Quinn Ewers, and he is my guy if he is healthy. But it's just a question of if – it's pretty much today. The decision's been made.
Yeah.
So if he's going out there and throwing the ball well enough today – then he's starting. If he's not, then Hudson's going to be the guy because he's not going to stick him in there with 2 or 3 days practice.
Well, and we know, Sark's big about guys getting the practice reps. So he's going to allow both of the guys to get first-team practice reps. But I agree with Patrick. I think he probably knows who it's going to be. And you do want to avoid, you know, any type of dispute or any controversy about who QB1 is, especially in the locker room. I always say quarterback competition are like elections, and you don't want a contested election.
Right.
All right, so you want to make sure that everybody's on the same page there. So I think that's why Sark's probably going to avoid any type of uncertainty or anything vague about who QB1 is. He announces the guy, that's going to be his guy, and I think it's going to be Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
And we'll see, though. Sark will probably let us know that around game time. I doubt he'll let that information be available before the game because you give Oklahoma a little bit of an advantage. And by the way, Brett Venables also playing things close to the vest. Can we have to get this sound ready here, Patrick, that Brent Venables actually was speaking to the media today, media availability, and he's being asked about his quarterbacks because Dylan Gabriel is in concussion protocol. They got Belleville. They got Booty. And they got the young man, what's his name?
Nick Evers,
the freshman. Thank you, Harge. Mm-hmm. So they got those three guys, in addition to Dylan Gabriel, but he's in concussion protocol and not unable to practice. Here is what Brent Venables had to say about the three quarterbacks he has available.
I mean, obviously, he's the first one that went in last week. So guys are going to, we'll have three quarterbacks taking reps this week just in case and see how the week goes. And then by game time, we'll have that figured out. And I would assume even before then.
Okay. So he'll have it figured out, but I don't think Dylan Gabriel is going to be a part of their plans. I think he's probably already understood that ship has sailed, and he's got to figure out between those three, Belleville, Booty, and Evers, who's going to give them the best chance to win against Texas. And, Harge, I like your idea.
Yeah. I think they're going to have to do it. I mean, if they're going to play this young guy who's their 4-star recruit out of Flower Mound, Elite 11 guy, who originally committed to Florida and then committed to Oklahoma. It was a big story. And I think he would fit the mold of what would give Texas the biggest problem. We saw Belleville last week. I mean, he was 7 of 16, but man – go stand back in that pocket if you want to. If them dogs get loose on that front line like Texas was doing last week, and that line is more experienced than what Oklahoma's is going to be.
That's true.
So why not go out there and let them go? So I just still believe that he is going – if they want to be effective, I think that they would go with Evers. And that was what I just – when you look at this team and what's effective for them – Look at what Dillon Gabriel was. He was a scrambling quarterback, mm-hmm. extending plays, hitting big plays. And to what Sam May said, he was missing the ball across the middle a little bit. But give this kid a chance to go through it. If he's going to be your future, why not let him play?
Yeah.
And what bigger stage can you do? What did Mac Brown say? Or not Mac Brown. What does Bucky always say? If you old enough, you good enough. I mean, if you good enough, you old enough, enough. Yep. Go out there and play.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they'll probably strip down the offense. Obviously, you don't want to overload him with too much stuff. He's a true freshman.
And he's from the Dallas area.
In Dallas, and he hasn't had – oh, there you go.
Yeah.
A little more incentive. Yeah. And he hasn't had a lot of time within the offense getting those first-team reps. But there are some concepts – with a young quarterback that translate really well because you know they've had repetition with him. So I would just, with a lot of different formations, personnel packages, I'd run a ton of RPOs with him early on because that's a concept that can work. It simplifies his reads for him. Also, it puts Texas in conflict, occupies the eyes of the linebacker. And like I said, those simple throws out of there, either the glance route or the slant route, really for a young quarterback, that should be a throw he can make.
Yes.
Especially when you open up the passing windows a little bit more by sucking those linebackers down with the run pass conflict.
Yeah.
So and he can run. Like you can run the run pass option as a kind of a zone read.
Yes.
And then use him with design runs. So yeah. And force Texas not only to have to account for him as a passer in the run pass option, but also as a runner in the plus one in the running game.
Yes.
So I'm with you, Harge. I honestly, the more and more you talk about it, and Sam Mays agreed with you too when you had him on for your Harge Knock Life, and now the more and more I look at it too. I think Evers is the only way to go.
Right.
I do.
Right.
I think it's the only way. If you want to add some juice to the game plan and you want to put Texas back on their heels.
I was about to say. And not only that, now they got to create a game plan for three different quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's a great point. They're doing that right now. And then when you put that guy out there, I guarantee you because of the history, the recent history Texas had with dual threat quarterbacks, they'll be a little apprehensive. They'll be a little reluctant to kind of go after him.
Yeah.
They want to see exactly how he performs. Because what if he starts taking off early on and getting those chunk yardage plays? What if he's got a great arm? What if he can make these throws and these throws? So you really want to kind of analyze him and evaluate him as the game goes on. That could be an advantage for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
All right, we come back. We'll get into Astros. Go Astros! Astros lose to the Phillies yesterday. Rangers also lost, but Astros are looking ahead to the postseason. They have clinched the number one seed in the American League. We'll come back and talk about what the postseason aspirations of the Astros should be and what they look like, and also throw in some range discussion. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104 Down the Horn.
That don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now, that's how long I've been on ya.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Top of the charts Tuesday. That might be the first time Kanye's appeared on Top of the Charts Tuesday.
I feel like maybe once before he got on here.
Maybe.
But
it's rare. I love Kanye, though, so I'm a Kanye fan, so I got no complaints about that. Not Kanye as a person, as an artist. Please don't hit me on the text line. He's a horrible person. He's disgusting. I understand that. I'm talking about him and his music, okay? The music of Kanye. I'm a big fan of the music,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, love Michael Jackson's music. R. Kelly's got some good songs.
Yes. The horrible, disgusting people.
I'm not going to.
There you go.
Not vindicating for the people.
Exactly.
Right?
But yeah, Kanye joining us on a Top of the Charts Tuesday. Gentlemen, let's get to some Astros discussion here. The Astros did clinch the top seed, in the American League. So they will have home field advantage all throughout the playoffs. They lost to Philly last night. A lot of people think that the Astros already have their eyes kind of, or at least their attention on the playoffs right now ahead. Tonight on the mound, a lot of people think this probably should be the starting lineup for the playoffs when the Astros actually start too. You're going to have Justin Verlander on the mound. It's going to be your starting pitcher. Chaz McCormick is going to be the center fielder. And I got this little nugget to make sure I get it right here. I want to read the tweet correct. Comes from Michael Schwab. And he tweeted out that Dusty Baker said he wanted to get Chaz McCormick a start in center with Justin Verlander on the mound before the start of the playoffs so he could get a read on how the ball and center looks coming off the bat when Verlander pitches. One of the only, I know, he's being thorough about this center field thing. You brought it up, Harge, a couple of weeks ago. Hey, I feel like me and Patrick have been talking about this thing for a few months now. And at the Astros, we thought at one point they would figure out the center field position. But no, they keep rotating, they keep experimenting. Is Chaz McCormick going to be the guy in the playoffs, Harge? Are they going to settle on Chaz McCormick? Is that the plan? Or are they going to still rotate? Because it's not a good look for Dubon.
Right.
At all.
Seth Myers.
Yeah.
Myers either. Jake Myers. Excuse me. Seth Myers, the comedian.
SNL.
Yeah. My bad. And so I sit there and I look at this and I say, this is Dusty doing what Dusty does. He wants to make sure. It's just like he said that Machete's going to be the catcher for Verlander no matter what. So he's putting his center fielder out there as well so he can track the ball in center field. But either way, I think Chaz is probably going to be the better version of the center fielders because he has had some good at-bats lately. He's done some different things that Dusty was looking at. I just don't like the fact that he had to put that in the universe to say, well, I'm going to try him out in center field and see what he looks like when the ball's coming off of Verlander's
bat. It was weird.
I'm like,
it's a weird description. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, it's like what are you saying, man?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, hasn't he just been in the past? It's been more of a pitching matchup of who I feel is going to hit off this pitcher
it's
the
like
best.
It's like defense, right?
That's
defense
who I'm going to put this guy out there. I feel all three guys can play out there defensively. It's more of, I just want to say that. But, I mean, maybe that's the deal. He just feels Chaz McCormick doesn't play well defense behind Verlander, and he's just telling Chaz,
give him one more chance
behind
there.
Get out there, understand what's happening.
Yeah, I guess so. It's very interesting. So, do we assume that McCormick's going to be the guy in when the playoffs start, or are they going to?
I would assume
rotating guys in the playoffs, right?
You're going to go bat to bat. So if you have a guy that Dubon or Myers probably hits better against, you might see them
matchup
come in
based.
But yes. I think your Dubon would be the guy just because he's got more speed than some other guys,
and he can play multiple positions. I think they will use him as more of a utility guy.
But they also have Diaz to do that in infield too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's a guy that can go out there and help defensively. But, you know, it's just good thing they got a great pitching staff.
Dusty going Dusty.
You know what I'm saying? I love the fact that they got a good pitching staff.
Oh, it's a great pitching staff.
And then you also have the fact of the experience factor for these guys. There's a ton of experience for these guys that you look at Bregman, Altuve, Uriel, Yordan has been still hitting the ball well. Although last night they almost got no hit. By Nola was pitching well for Philly, and that's how Philly got into the playoffs for the first time since 2011.
Yeah, needed that win.
Yeah, they needed to get in there. But you start looking around and start looking at some of these teams, and how are they going to match up in the American League? I think they're in a good position still.
Yeah, I also tell you this: if you look and they get matched up, and I don't know park dimensions or anything, but you get matched up with someone who has a bigger right field, you could see two of those guys, Myers, McCormick, or Dubon, end up in right field and put Yordan at DH, and Mancini just doesn't play.
Okay.
But you could see that as well if the outfield gets too big and they go, well, we need defense out there or else, you know, we're putting Yordan in an unwinnable position.
Yeah. That's a good point. And maybe that's why all the experimentation in the regular season, so that you're ready for all those matchup-based
Yeah, because you expect to have
moves.
Michael Brantley in right field, but he just he was not able to come back.
Yeah.
So for three quarters of the season, you thought, well, we'll have Brantley there in the playoffs. And when that didn't happen, now you have to go, okay, now we don't have that position secured either.
Okay.
So there's just questions depending on what ballpark you're playing in.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conversation, first world problems for the Astros, by the way, about the pitching rotation in the playoffs. There's even talk that it's a Christian Javier is going to be on the playoff roster, right? Like
he should,
yeah. You'd figure he would.
I mean, you
be.
Definitely well, need, but you need pitching.
I know, but
so you need to keep that around.
That's a conversation that's being had, and I'm like, man, I thought that was pretty obvious.
I could see it just in the fact that they want guys who are better one inning pitchers, and Javier has been a long relief guy.
He's been
so if they
awesome,
feel
though.
That they don't want to carry any long relief guys,
okay,
then he could miss whatever series that they're going to send him out in, just because they feel they have better. Hey, this guy can go in and pitch three outs.
Situational guys.
Yeah, and pitch three outs, and I could put Stanek in there and pitch three outs, and Maton could pitch three outs.
Yeah.
And those guys, so if you feel that's what you want and you've got to lose a spot, that's where.
Depending on who the team you're playing, that kind of thing. Yeah, I know. I was actually listening to Houston Sports Radio. It was a conversation they were having. I was like, man, that's an actual conversation, but depending on the situation.
How that goes.
Yeah. But he's been great against, like, playoff teams and playoff foes, that potential playoff teams for the Astros, Guardians, Yankees, Mariners, Braves, Rays. He's been really, really good against those
teams. The optimistic thought is, well, we won't need him in long relief because all of our starters will do great.
Ding, 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 ding.
That is the optimistic way to look at it.
That is a great way to look at it.
I'm proud to be part of that optimism.
A lot of optimism going on with Astros fans right now. Go Astros! All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap it up, put it in the oven, let you know what's on tap for us tonight. All of that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horns.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this time?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is.
Pop a top again. All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Getting ready to wrap it up and put it in the oven. Before we do that, we'll let you know what's on tap. If you miss any part of any of the shows, please go to hornfm.com and you can catch up with them on the podcast page. We do have to give a special shout out, and congratulations to Harge. What's the team name? What are they?
Park Crest Pumas, baby.
Woo!
Still undefeated. The 7th and 8th graders still undefeated. They just won the game against
shout out
Bulls.
And they were undefeated, too.
They're undefeated,
too. It was a match
too.
Of undefeated teams.
That's right.
Defensive struggle there, too.
Defensive struggle. 14-6. 14-6.
Give it up. Give it up. Like
big time.
That. You did let me know something that is very weird, though. You did say that the level they play was middle school?
Middle school football.
That they get 2 points.
Yes, for a kick.
For the extra point kick.
Yes.
And when they go for it, like a 2-point conversion, they get 1 point.
You get one.
What the hell, man?
You got to incentivize these kids to start kicking early, man.
No,
if you don't do it right, you got to say, hey, we're going to kick it, we get two.
I can't know. That's the,
yeah,
no. You're teaching them the wrong type of football. They're supposed to get more incentivized to go for it. And it's harder, right? The 2-point conversion is tougher. I guess maybe field goal kicking is tough at that level.
At that level.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But
all
we
right.
got a lot of soccer players on our squad. So
you know
them
what I'm
boys
saying?
Can kick.
Come on. Go grab a damn kid off the soccer field. A girl or a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Make those kids.
Make
come
it
on,
happen.
Man. Make that happen. So,
yes.
Anyway, congrats to the crew, man. I'm happy that they're still undefeated. That's what it's all about, getting the dub. Speaking
right.
of getting the dub, our good friends, Under the Lights.
I love that.
Under the Lights.
Under that.
Rick Epstein, Jeff Powers. I think Rodney Rodriguez
going to
be there as well.
There
love
too.
My man. Rodney Rodriguez, man,
yep.
He does great work, and he's good peeps, too. But they're going to be previewing high school teams and sports in the area, of course. They got great guests tonight, includes Josh Mann, of the Rouse Raiders, Coach Sam Robinson of the Cedar Ridge Raiders, and Covert Ford Player Spotlight interview is, make sure I get the right, Ananias?
Aeneas Vance.
Why did they misspell this on this?
Maybe.
Okay.
Somewhere I'm just gonna go. That's Mama call him Clay. I'm gonna call him Clay. That's what we're going with.
It's spelled A-N-A-N-I-S. N-I-S.
Well, let's go Aeneas.
Ananias.
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 Is that the hacker group? Ananias.
Right. But I don't know. I mean, he's a great player. Aeneas Vance. We apologize if we mess up the name. Running back for Westwood. He's a really good player. So make sure you stick around and listen to that. That's coming up at 7 o'clock right after we are done.
That's right.
All right, gentlemen, what is on tap tonight for you, brother?
Well, hold up. Before we get
go
to
ahead.
That point, don't forget we will be at Hayes City Store tomorrow.
Good job.
Actually, CNZ will be there before us.
CNZ.
That's starting off at 12, and then we will come in from 3 to 7. So make
nice.
Sure if y'all want to stop by, come and kick it with us. But tonight, I'm going to go give my son a high five.
Ooh.
For their win,
that's
and he's
right.
going to tell me all about his game tonight.
Man, that's always fun, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Do you have somebody filming it for you so you
yes.
can watch it?
Yes.
Okay, good,
yeah.
good. Patrick, what you got? What's on tap, brother?
Future Spur Victor Wembanyama is playing against Scoot Henderson tonight in an exhibition game. So I'm gonna check that out on ESPN2 tonight.
Somebody's very optimistic about the future of the Spurs. I like that. All right, tonight I'm watching Atlanta. Atlanta
that's
is back, man.
That's right.
I got some Atlanta episodes catching up on. I love
Abbott
that show.
Abbott too.
Oh, Abbott's back too. That's right. Good
that's
shows,
right.
man. Great shows. All right. great show today. Thank you guys for being a part of it. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We talk about it right here on Ball Don't Lie. We love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves, but more importantly, take care of each other. Peace.